And now, with the word, here's Father Tony Percy with his weekly reflection.
And now the third Sunday of Easter. The first Sunday we had the Gospel of Mark, that very pithy, short Gospel of Mark. Last week, the beautiful Gospel from John, chapter 20. And now this week we have the Gospel of Luke, which looks to me like it can be divided into three parts. First part is the disciples on the road to Emmaus come back and they tell their story and how they recognise Christ at the breaking of the bread, one of the earliest descriptions of the Eucharist. One of the other names that was given to the Eucharist very, very early on was the medicine of immortality. It's a fantastic name that the Christians understood that Christ had granted them the gift of immortality and the gift of resurrection. So they named the Eucharist, which means thanksgiving. They named it not only the breaking of the bread, a reference to the Last Supper and a reference to that magnificent scene on the resurrection, but also the medicine of immortality. It says that in that first part of the Gospel, they tell their stories, how they told their story and how they recognised Christ in the breaking of the bread. That would be a very good exercise, I think, for more Christians to tell the story of faith to each other. That would be something that would really confirm us in faith. And no doubt when that happens, then the risen Christ slowly becomes more and more visible in our communities. That's worth looking at, I think. The second part of the Gospel is the really realistic sense of the resurrection that Luke gives us. And the third part is when Christ then explains how he had to suffer and how he had to suffer and rise again. And this would grant repentance, would grant grace for the repentance and forgiveness of sins. That's the third part. Let's focus on the second part, which is the incredibly realistic sense of the resurrection here that Luke brings us into. So Jesus appears among them and he says to them, "Peace be with you." And then they're in a state of alarm and they can't really believe what's happening. And so he says, "Look, give me your hands and put it into my side. Touch me. Touch me," he says. And then to drive the realism even more, that is the continuity between Jesus of Nazareth, his historical body, and his resurrected body, Jesus says to them, "Well, give me a piece of fish," which he ate in front of them, to show the realism of the resurrected body of Christ. Two words spring to mind about the resurrection, given this magnificent scene, and really given last week's Gospel scene and the week before as well. The two words that come to my mind are the authenticity of the resurrection scenes and the integrality, how the scenes are integral. The resurrection is an integral event. So firstly, the authenticity of the resurrection scenes. We know that in the ancient world, it was the custom to break into the tomb, unwrap the body quickly, throw the body into a corner, and then take the shroud or the clothes or the cloths and sell them on the black market. That didn't happen here. There was an empty tomb. The cloths remained. So the reverse happened. The cloths remained, but there's no body. So the empty tomb helps us to believe. And then the resurrection appearances that Christ let himself be seen, the texts all say, they drive home the authenticity of the resurrection as well. That is that they take some time in recognising Christ in his risen state. If you were going to fabricate the evidence, you'd sort of say, "Well, look, he just appeared quickly. We understood it very easily." But they didn't. They took time. And this shows that Christ in his glorified body, his historical but now glorified body, is somewhat different to his older body that belonged to the Jesus of Nazareth for 33 years. So authenticity, certainly. And I'm using the word integral. The resurrection's an integral event. That is, the resurrection applies to our body, soul, and spirit. Our bodies will be resurrected. If you want to go to something that's fabulous on this, go to John Paul II's Theology of the Body, the third part, the resurrection of the body, where he comes up with this extraordinary idea that the human body will come, the human person will come to absolute, authentic subjectivity in a way that's never been experienced on earth before. We'll become profoundly more human as a result of the resurrection of the body, he says. The resurrection of the body. So, yes, the resurrection of our senses, our five senses, which slowly but surely get depleted over life. The same can be said of our emotional life. It'll be resurrected. St. Thomas Aquinas, in his great teaching document, the Summa Theologica, gives this magnificent dissertation on the emotional life, the fact that we have 11 emotions divided into two parts, more on that later, but they'll be resurrected. Then our soul will be resurrected at our death. So our minds, our intellects, have become much clearer. Our wills, our choosing. Yes, we'll just be choosing and willing for Christ for the all of eternity in a perpetual relationship with Him and the other figures of the Trinity and all the communion of saints. And then our memories will be resurrected. So all those people that are suffering from dementia, all the people that look on, have no fear. The memories will be resurrected, as Augustine says. And then our spirits will be resurrected. That is, our ability to see God face to face. We will understand God looking at us, and we'll be able to look on Him, gaze on Him for all eternity. And it will take an eternity to understand the mystery and the grace of the resurrection of Christ and how it applies to us in eternity, but also now in our period of time that we live in.